Good morning, everyone. Nice to have you all here. So, the first case of the day is number 12-3288, it's United States of America versus Daniel Moran Vasquez. And it's Mr. Connors. Morning.
May it please the court, I'm Neil Connors for the defendant appellant, Daniel Moran Vasquez. Judges, the defendant is appealing the reasonableness of an 87-month high-end guideline sentence imposed by the district court for unlawful reentry of an aggravated felon. We believe that this sentence that was imposed by the district court was unnecessarily punitive because of its reliance, in particular the judge's weighing of certain aggravating factors, which we would believe to have been inappropriate. In plain words, the court concluded that the defendant's potential for committing additional offenses was great, and therefore it sentenced him to 87 months. And this single fact alone outweighed any of the mitigating factors that were cited by the court and presented by the defense in this case. The judge relied on the defendant's relatively low criminal history points, which formed the basis for his opinion that this defendant should have a high-end guideline sentence. The event which preceded his unlawful reentry was his conviction in the state of Texas in 2005 for an aggravated felony and injury to another individual.
We shot someone in the stomach.
He shot somebody in the stomach, Your Honor.
You know, drive-by, was it, or just some?
It was certainly an act of violence on the streets. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But the district court recognized that he had had a difficult childhood, he never knew his father, and he was young. And some of the factors that the court relied on was the disrespect for the law, as shown by the illegal reentry, his attempt to suborn perjury from his mom, his failure to recognize the gravity of the offense because he said basically he didn't commit a serious crime. So the judge talked about those factors as being
He did, Your Honor. Judge Williams point those factors out, but quickly departed from them. Somewhat confusing is the fact that the court started out by saying, well, I'm not going to sentence you for your prior criminal history, and then launched into a discussion about the defendant's background, the fact that he had been kicked out of high school in the 10th grade from the Robert E. Lee Community High School in Houston, Texas, the fact that he had that a Department of Homeland Security expert suggested that, based on his gang tattoos alone, this was a group that was probably involved in drug trafficking and other things. But conspicuously absent from this defendant's criminal history is any drug trafficking convictions or any drug history whatsoever.
What was he caught doing? What did they catch him doing when they stopped him?
When they stopped him, he was transporting 13 illegal Guatemalans in the Southern District.
Yes, and he said he was taking them to church.
Mm-hmm. That would probably have been false, just based on my practical experience in the Southern District, Your Honor, but I do believe he was involved in the redistribution of labor. And perhaps
that's
not laudable.
That's a novel way to express it.
And the fact is, though, that the court lighted upon this in describing it, and I don't think there's any fact that Judge Reagan was perhaps prejudiced by the fact that he was involved in this type of activity. He described it as human trafficking, and I'm not of the opinion that his simply using that term of art meant that much, but for the fact that...
He was actually referring to human smuggling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been more on point, Your Honor.
You can tell that that's, you know, you can tell that that's meant. And it seems to me that it would be proper for the judge to have considered
his gang membership, given that the gang was one that was actively involved in organized human smuggling. And the judge felt that his involvement with human smuggling was a factor that he had to consider in thinking about the need to, you know, protect the public, to deter future crime.
He did certainly emphasize the fact that this, he pointed to in his findings that this this gang was involved in drug activities specifically. And it seemed that the emphasis, at least in part during his findings, was that the likelihood of their being involved in drug trafficking, which was something that was conspicuously absent, as I mentioned, was really the reference that he was particularly concerned about. I'm troubled by the fact that the judge relied upon the previous history of this defendant with respect to his tattoos and his representing sports teams in Houston as being part of his membership in a gang, and that this was therefore something that should carry with him on this day of sentencing, that this gang affiliation alone was something that should be pointed to as something that would warrant a high-end guideline sentence.
So just back on this gang thing, you know, the expert explained that Houston Tango Blast gang members use local sports logos to show their affiliation, and it wasn't that he just had on clothes or anything like that. He had that tattoo on his body, Houston.
He did. And so then the question is, well, what does that mean? Why is it important that this individual has these tattoos? Clearly, he had previously had been involved and had committed this crime for which he was deported. But then on the day of sentencing, for which the judge suggests that he was not being punished for his prior criminal history, but for the event of unlawful reentry of an aggravated felon, this seemed to play a very distinctive role in the judge's thinking about whether this it was his current participation or involvement that was suggested. And I know the court suggested that, well, this it's the potential for criminal activity that was suggested here, his likelihood of recidivism, and the fact that his record was contained three criminal history points, but then it warranted an 87-month sentence, seems to just be a complete emphasis on the negative, on the potential, on the likelihood, on the possibility, without any specific concrete factors other than the suppositions that could be drawn by having these tattoos, which certainly could be suggestive. And I would submit to the court respectfully that if this was an individual with a lengthy history of involvement in drug trafficking or any history whatsoever or even other acts, apart from what the court pointed out that perhaps this gang had some involvement in human trafficking. But I think that these factors were examined and they were prejudicial to him. And that's why we're asking for a sentencing remand in this case.
Thank you. Okay. Morning, Ms. Dawson.
May it please the Court. Teresa Dawson on behalf of the United States. The appellant cannot overcome the presumption that his 87-month within-guideline sentence is reasonable. Neither party objected to the facts in the PSR or to the guidelines calculation. The record makes clear that the district court considered both parties' arguments, considered the parties' briefing, sentencing memorandums, and also the supporting evidence. At the sentencing hearing, the district court explained its reasoning and analysis on what amounts to nearly 6.5 pages worth of transcripts.
Would it be permissible for a district court to simply conclude that because a person is affiliated with a gang, he necessarily presents a greater threat to the public and should receive a longer sentence?
I don't believe that's what the court did in this case. The court discussed the defendant's gang membership in the context of the history and characteristics of the defendant and found that of particular importance that the need for the sentence should be higher, at the higher end of the guideline sentence, to protect the public from further crimes, given that the defendant had that previous aggravated felon of shooting someone in the stomach. Of course, the gang membership may have played into part in that analysis, but the gang membership did not come up in that context when the district court explained its sentencing.
So you don't think there's any First Amendment association concern with using his gang membership itself as a factor in increasing the sentence where the offense of the conviction is unrelated to the membership?
I don't believe that that came into play in this case, Your Honor. He was clearly, the district court went into great detail why that lengthier guideline sentence was necessary in this case, mostly because the defendant had that violent history of shooting someone in the stomach. The fact that he had attempted to suborn perjury at his trial by attempting to get his mother to lie for him. He obviously did not have he did not believe that the crime that he had committed was serious based on the letters that had been submitted to the district court and to his attorney prior to sentencing. So those were the factors that the district court relied on in sentencing the defendant. And as the record makes clear in that 6.5 pages worth of transcript, that the district court adequately considered the relevant 3553A factors and thoroughly articulated its reasoning for its high-end guideline sentence of 87 months. So as the appellant has failed to demonstrate that the district court abused its discretion in sentencing the court, and if the court has no further questions, the United States respectfully requests that that this court affirm the sentence.
Thank you. A minute and a half.
Just there's one other reference that the court makes to the suggestion that this defendant is being punished for being the potential for being a recidivist. And that's on page 16 of the record, where top of 14 in terms of the transcript, where the court talks about citing the need to aggregate a sentence in order to send a message. This is a clear bell ringer in terms of basing the sentence based on aggregating the sentence and punishment based on what the previous offense is committed by this accused. And the problem with that is that there's just not much to go on. As I pointed out, the fact is, are we aggregating the unlawful reentry or the previous offense that he committed in the state of Texas for which he was punished? And that causes some concern. This is a high-end sentence, which makes a difference. The court mentioned that it had the factors, the mitigating factors mentioned at the top, but they're very slight. They're very slight. And for this, we think that a remand for sentencing would be appropriate.
Thank you so much. And you were court appointed.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You for taking on this burden. I'm going to be thanking a number of you today. We really are so appreciative. Thank you. And thank you, government, always. Okay. We'll go on to